Okay. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Galatians. Now, I was going to name this message Another Gospel, but this morning, as I was here and thinking about the message again, and Vicki and I always talk about the message before we leave the house, and I'm going to rename it to A Strong Warning. A Strong Warning. And I'll tell you what, as I looked into this verse that we're going to look at today, this is a strong warning. We're only going to get halfway through the verse. It'll be verse 6 of Galatians chapter 1, but I want to read verses 1 to 7 in Galatians chapter 1 for us to get the setting. Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. It's not good news. It's not good news. Because it's good news is what Christ done for us. Good news is what it says in verse 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and the Father. That's good news for sinners. That Christ gave himself for me. He did it all. See, but the Judaizers had come in and they had said, well, you still got to follow some of the law. And so they added circumcision to the work of Christ, thereby nullifying the work of Christ. And Vicki and I were talking this morning, and my dear bride brought something up that was just awesome. She said, because we see here that verse 6, Paul's using some strong language, and we're going to see that as we look into the Greek. And she said, well, wouldn't you be upset if you gave your son for someone, and they said, well, that wasn't good enough. Now think of who this is, though. This is the Word of God. You've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, right? The three are one. The Father, God, and they've been together for eternity. They've had uninterrupted fellowship for eternity. And God the Father sends the Son to this world to die for us. And even Christ on the cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, God forsook God. Henry Mahan said, God forsook God at the cross that we would never be forsaken by God. Isn't that wonderful? That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. And it was all about what Christ did. Nothing what we do. We have nothing to give. All about what Christ did. Now, last week we looked at how Paul set before the believers in Galatia the gospel. And I wasn't able to finish what I was bringing, so we're continuing verse 4, considering what the gospel is. The gospel is all about what Christ did. It's all about him. You take Christ out of the gospel and there's no good news. You add anything to Christ's finished work and it's not good news. Anything we have to do, it's no longer good news. It's no longer the gospel. And that's what Paul's going to bring forth in verse 6 as we look at that later on today. So it's all about what he did. He came to save sinners. That's what he came. He came, he gave himself, verse 4, for our sins. He's the sinless one. To deliver us from this present evil world. And also deliver us from our sins, right? Deliver us from our sins. And our great majestic God, our sovereign creator, became a man. Sent by the Father. The Word of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, John said. They saw him face to face like you and I see each other. They saw him face to face. The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then Timothy writes, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. God became a man. Fully God still, and yet fully man. Bone of our bone, he suffered hunger like we hunger. He was thirsty like we're thirsty, right? He was tried and tempted yet without sin. My beloved, he went through what we go through. Remember, he sat at the well because he was weary. His body was tired. Even though it was a divine appointment he had with the lady at the well, his body was still tired. And remember, these fellows walked everywhere. Miles. I was thinking about that this week. How many miles they walked or took a ship. But you know, Christ never left the Jewish nation. Paul went off, but Christ never left that area. We'll see that this morning. He never left that area. And as a man, Christ honored all of God's law by his perfect obedience to them, establishing a perfect righteousness for us. Because he is sinless. He doesn't need to establish a righteousness. He's already righteousness. So he's establishing that righteousness for us by obeying the law of God perfectly. Perfectly. For all his elect people. And then he satisfied the law of God, didn't he? He took the unmitigated wrath of God, fell upon him instead of falling upon you and I. And it fell upon him in our place. So let us think of that. Even this season, people talk about the birth of Christ, and it's wonderful. But he was born to die for us. That's why he came. To save his people from their sins. And we are sanctified in Christ. By one offering, he sanctified his people. And as a man, our suffering Redeemer, by himself, removed all our sins, beloved. That's what verse 4 is bringing forth. That's the gospel, right? He removed all our sins. They're gone. God won't remember them anymore. We remember, but God said, I won't remember your sins no more. No more. And he obtained eternal redemption, right? He did it. He did that for us, which we could never do. He obtained, and listen, eternal redemption, beloved. You can't mess it up, and neither can I. Because it's in Christ. And it's all his work. Now, if it was something we had to do, it'd be messed up, wouldn't it? That's why Paul's saying to the Galatians, this is another gospel, but it's not another gospel. It's not good news. It's not. Because anything you do to gain merit and favor with God or salvation, God will not accept. He is only pleased with his Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm what? Well pleased. Well pleased. And he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And God our Father set him upon the throne, right? Where is he right now? He's on the throne, beloved. Our Redeemer's on the throne of all power. He's the commander of all the legions of angels in heaven. He's the commander of all things, visible and invisible. Nothing happens without his permissive will. I was talking to someone this week. God is so in control that a bird will drop to the ground and he knows it. My. And then he watches over each one of us personally. That, we can't even conceive that, can we? But it's true. He knows us so intimately that the very hairs of your head in my head are numbered. I couldn't count up my hair. But he knows every single hair. Every single one. Oh, and he died to deliver us from our sins. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the, and look at verse 4 again, according to the will of God. It's God's will that you're saved and I'm saved. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Christ born again, blood washed children, believe that Jesus Christ didn't try to save us, that he's saved us. God doesn't try to do anything, does he? We try to do things. See how foolish that is when people say, well, God wants to save you. He's trying to save you, but you have to let him save you. I'll tell you what. So you're telling me that the one who spoke the universe into existence, these people, if they actually stopped and thought about what they're saying, okay, God spoke the universe into existence. Angels are at his command, at his beck and call. Satan is under his authority. He's just a created being. Sister Diane brought that up one day. He's just a created being. He's under the authority of God. And God, he rules the world and all the inhabitants are reputed as nothing. But he has to try to save you. That's not God, is it? No, the God of the Bible, He saves His people from their sins. He regenerates us. We're born again by His almighty power. We're saved by the sacrifice of God Almighty on Calvary's cross. The Word of God made flesh. He's not trying to save us. He obtained eternal redemption for us. And we praise His name, don't we? Oh, we praise His name. See, we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And so now we know what He's done for us. And what we can't help but rejoice, beloved. We can't help but praise His name for delivering us from all our sins. My, don't ever, you know, and don't let people talk to you about a God who's trying to save. Just say, this is not right. That's deceiving. They're deceived, beloved. God doesn't try to do anything. He just does it according to His will and according to His purpose. And Christ didn't try to save us. He saved us. And we know the Scripture says that God can't fail. And Isaiah says, He shall not fail. God can't fail. Christ can't fail. If somebody says God's trying to save you, and if supposedly God died for all these people in hell, because they say, well, God died for everyone. Well, I'll tell you what, those He died for, He saves. And if he supposedly did, as false teachers say, die for everyone, then He's a failure, because there's all kinds of people in hell. But we know our God shall not fail. We know He's a successful Savior, isn't He? We're living proof of that, beloved. We're trophies of His grace and His mercy. My, the Holy Spirit sought us out because Christ purchased our eternal souls on Calvary. He obtained eternal redemption for us. He gave Himself for our sins at Calvary's cross. Oh my, it's wonderful. What good news. It's wonderful news. All according to the will of God and the Father. Oh my goodness. Oh my. It's wonderful. So the true gospel of God's amazing grace gives God all the glory, doesn't it? Gives God all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And you know, God's jealous over His glory. He won't share His glory with no one. No one at all. So these folks say, you get folks boasting about what they're doing and what they're done. We believers just go, He saved me? That's amazing. He saved me, knowing who I am and knowing what I am. He saved me? Yeah, according to the will of God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're going to marvel about that for all eternity, beloved. We really, I believe that the saints are still marveling as they see Christ in this. Just marveling. No wonder they say unto Him who purchased us with His blood. No wonder they sing praises to Him. Oh my gosh. It's just absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Let's look at verse 6 here. And Paul writes in verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. So he sets the gospel. He sets the gospel in verse 4. He sets the gospel before these Galatians who, again, are being, they're being bewitched by the Judaizers who have come in and said you must be circumcised to be saved along with Christ. And so he set the gospel in verse 4, you know. He said it so clearly, didn't he? And again, remember, Paul's just the penman. The author is the Holy Spirit of God. The true author is the Holy Spirit of God. And again, in verse 4, he says, who gave Himself for our sins. How can we not but love our God? He gave Himself for my sins. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm still a sinner. I didn't stop being a sinner when the Lord saved me. I'm still a sinner. And I sin a lot more than I want to, I'll tell you that, and I know it's so for you. So when I read this, that He gave Himself for me, what love. What goodness. What mercy. Who gave Himself for us, for our sins, to pay for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. And I love that latter part, though, according to the will of God and the Father. And no wonder Paul just comes out with this statement in verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. He gets all the glory. gets it all. You know, you listen to men in religion, and even in our natural state, and we glory in ourselves. We glory in our abilities, or we glory in our mental abilities, our physical abilities. We're proud beings, aren't we? But Lord humbles the proud, doesn't he? When he saves us. He shows us what we really are in his eyes. Sinners in desperate need of Christ. And we who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God, we rejoice, don't we? Thank you, Lord, that you showed me that. Thank you that you saved my soul. To you be the glory. No wonder Paul breaks out in this short little doxology. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he set before the gospel. Now let's look at verse 6 here. Now, like I said, I changed the name of this message to a strong warning. We are only going to get halfway through this verse because I started looking at the Greek words underlying this, and I really want to bring that out for us. It's pretty incredible. So he writes here, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So he sets forth, he's already set the gospel, the true gospel, in verse 4 before them, that Christ died for the sins of his people. And now he's setting forth before them that which the Judaizers is teaching is a false gospel. And then look at verse 7 again, he really nails it home, which is not another. It's not another gospel. It's a false gospel. Because the gospel is good news. Christ died for sinners. It's not good news if you have to do something to be saved. That's horrible news. Which is not another, there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So anything that adds man's works to salvation is a perversion. If they include Christ in that, it's a perversion of the gospel. It's no longer the gospel. It's no longer good news. No wonder Paul said, in chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. Paul preached the gospel to them. He preached Christ crucified. And so he's in wonder that they've moved away from the gospel. My, oh my. And as I said in studies in the past, if we understand the gospel of God's amazing grace, we won't be tossed to and fro when someone comes to us with saying, well, look at this. Here's Christ over here, but you got to do a little something. Nope. That's a false gospel. Oh my. In these Galatians, they turned away their eye of faith from he who is the object of God's glory, and that's Christ. Now they're starting to look at, Christ and something I have to do. See, because that's what these folks, these Judaizers had come in and told them that. My, oh my. And if we understand the purpose of the law of Moses, know the law of love to Christ that every believer is under, we're under the law of love. We're not under the law anymore. The love of Christ constrains us from sin now. That's what constrains us from sin. You don't have to tell a believer to hate sin. We already do in ourselves more than anybody else. Right? My, I hate my sin. I wish I didn't sin anymore. But well, there'll be one day when I won't sin anymore. Hallelujah. But I'll be in glory then. It'll never be on this earth. Oh, my. And so for you. So for you too. So these Judaizers were professing Christians who wanted to put the Galatians under the law of Moses. You must be circumcised as well as believe in Christ to be saved. So they're trying to put the Galatians under bondage. That's what they're doing. Something you have to do. And that's just bondage. There's nothing we have to do. We just look to Christ. That's all we do. We just look to him. We look to his finished work because he gave himself for our sins. My, oh my. And there's modern-day Judaizers right now, too. They say you have to worship on a certain day. Well, if you don't worship on Saturday, you got the mark of the beast. Well, that's just a false gospel. There's no good news in that. Seventh-day Adventists say that. I came out of Catholicism. It's just basically Mary worship. That's all it is. They put Mary on such a high pedestal and Christ down here. And they even say that Christ has asked permission. Well, we saw when that reading Brother Travis did, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that Mary said, "He's my deliverer. He's my rescuer." She needed a Savior just like we do. My, oh my. So the understanding of the book of Galatians will help us to guard against those who come with us saying, you have to do this to be saved, or you have to do that along with Christ. Now let's again look at verse 6. Paul turns the heat up here. Now here's Paul. He's going to crank the heat up on them. So he's put the gospel before them, and now he's going to crank the heat up, beloved. He's going to crank it up. He brings forth that which these Judaizers is teaching is not the gospel. It's not the gospel. It's not good news. Again, anyone who adds something you have to do to the gospel of Christ, it's a perversion of the gospel. It's no longer good news. The good news is that Christ died for sinners, and he obtained eternal redemption for us. He did it all. He cried, "It is finished." He didn't say, "It's almost finished. You just have to make a decision for me." He didn't say that, did he? No, he said, "It is finished. The work of redemption is done. It's done. It's finished. Salvation's of the Lord. It's all his work." So he's going to turn the heat up here, Paul is, on works-based salvation. And remember who the true author is. It's God the Holy Spirit. That's the true author of the Scriptures. It says this, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Now, it's been evident in the first five verses of this chapter already that there's only one true gospel. Just as the Scripture says, there's only salvation in Christ. Right? No, there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. None. I don't care who it is. I don't care how many people fall that. There's only one way to heaven. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's the words of Christ and him alone. That's the words of God incarnate in the flesh. And so Paul here writes, he says, I'm marveled that you're so soon removed from the one true gospel. The gospel of salvation in God's grace in Christ, or by God's grace in Christ. Because he alone can deliver sinners from all their sins. And we'll see in the next few weeks as we study verses 6 to 9 here, that Paul will emphasize these words which come in verses 6 and 9. This is why, again, it's so important to make sure we're preaching the gospel. Anybody who stands up in the pulpit is proclaiming the gospel of Christ. That's why it's so important. Salvation only through Christ and him alone. And that's the amazing gospel, right? That's the gospel of God's amazing grace. Salvation in Christ plus nothing you and I do. You mean he's done it all? There's nothing I have to do? Well, by faith we look to Christ, right? God gives us faith to believe and then we look to Christ, but we're just looking to him with faith that comes from our great God. Isn't that amazing? My, oh my. I had somebody this week, they was talking with them. And they said, "Well, first you have faith and then you're born again." I said, "Nope." Kind of looked at me. I knew right away who I was dealing with. I've talked to this gentleman in the past, and I just, you just be real patient, right? And I said, "No, you must be born again. You must be born again." Christ said that to Nicodemus, didn't he? And then when you're born again, what does God give you? Faith. Repentance before God. And then you run to Christ. You run to, you fall in love with the Savior who redeemed your eternal soul. And think of that. God himself came to save his people from their sins. Came to the sin-cursed world to save sinners. Are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? If you don't think you are, I sure hope God will show you that you are. Because I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and every believer will tell you, We're just sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. That's all we are. My, oh my. God's so good to us. So here he brings forth, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. You know, the majority of religious folks are so blinded by their beliefs that they would lay down their lives for false gospels, and people do that. People lay down their lives for false religions and find that they are going to a place of eternal wrath. And God's preachers are ordained of God to preach the gospel, to preach Christ. That's why we're here. That's why this church exists, so the gospel goes out into all the world. First to you all, and then into the world. That's the only reason we're... Norm Wells told me, the only reason God's sending you to Almont is because there's some sheep there. He says, if there was no sheep there, you wouldn't be going to Almont, Wayne. Well, praise God he sent me. I love you all, and I know you're you're sinners just like me, saved by the grace of God in Christ. And we rejoice together, don't we? We rejoice together. My. And God's preachers, and I know Brother Travis filled in for me a couple weeks back, and it's an honor. It's an honor to get up and proclaim the Word of God. It's an honor. It's an absolute honor. And we know that we're not sufficient. I'm not sufficient. The only reason I can preach the gospel is because of God's sufficiency. He's the one who makes the preacher. He's the one who gives me the words to preach. Right? God is sufficient. None of us are sufficient for anything, are we, except for sinning. Oh, let's read this verse again. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So we see here that Paul's absolutely amazed. He's absolutely amazed that these saints in Galatia had turned away from Christ. Marvel there in the Greek, it means to wonder at, to marvel. Therefore, Paul, he was marveling that they were so soon removed. And remember, this is a young church. He had been there. He had preached in the Galatia, in the area of Galatia, and all these churches had started up. And so he knows these folks personally. And he says, I'm just amazed. I'm just amazed that you turned away from the gospel. One Greek commentator brings forth that the Greek word also brings forth a sense that better things were expected of them. Paul expected better things of them. He's shocked that they're removed from the gospel of God's grace. He taught them better. Right? But it shows you how men can deceive men. And so Paul, when he considers the defection of the Galatian Christians, it's an extraordinary thing for him. And it also brings forth a letting down. Remember when we were kids, and even now as adults, when we let down people we love, how we feel? So, see what you can find in the Greek here with these little nuances that the Greek brings forth? Like, we just look at that and we'd say, well, he's marveling. No, it's with a sense of being let down, of expecting better things from them because they've been taught the gospel. So imagine how Paul feels. It also, in the Greek, it also brings forth challenging an explanation from those who Paul's writing to. Just that one word. Challenging an explanation. Why? Why? You're removed from the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace to a supposed gospel, but that's not a gospel? And then the words are removed in our text. You know what that means? It means to transpose. To transpose two things, one of which is put in the place of the other. Taken from the solid ground of salvation in Christ and moved over here to sink in sand. It's a sinking sand. In the classical Greek, you know what it means? A turncoat. A Benedict Arnold. History here in America, a Benedict Arnold. A turncoat. So that this isn't just Paul going, you know, I'm marveling that you're removed from the gospel. You know, because sometimes we read the scriptures and we see that, we're like, you know. No, Paul's saying, it's incredible that you are now a turncoat. That's strong words, isn't it? That's strong language. And remember, the true author is the Holy Spirit of God. Right? My. But notice this, and we're going to notice this through the whole epistle. He never tells them that they're not believers. He does the same thing in Corinthians. Here he is correcting the Corinthians, and they're like way off, aren't they? But he never tells them they're not believers. He's just warning them here. This gospel's not a gospel, and if you go that way, you're a turncoat. You probably never were saved. See, God's people hear this, and we just get convicted, don't we? So Paul is delivering, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, a very strong rebuke to the Galatians, to the churches. Remember, this is written to the churches in Galatia. So it's a very strong rebuke here. The Galatians have sinfully turned to another gospel. They've what have they done, beloved? Well, they've taken their eyes of faith off of Christ, haven't they? And now they're looking at something they have to do. Instead of, that's why you always hear me, look to Christ. I'm preaching to myself. Look to Christ. Keep your eyes on Him. Don't let the world get in. Don't let people whisper this and that. No, keep your eyes on Christ. He is the sole, only Savior of sinners. He's redeemed my soul. I told you earlier, I was saved in my 30s. So I had a whole chunk of time where I just lived riotous. Didn't have a care in the world. Didn't want nothing to do with God, nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with nothing. Just wanted to live my life and drink sin like water. But God, by His mercy and His grace, intervened. Brother, we've talked about that. Remember what you said? You're driving down the road and it's just like, I believe. I believe. And you know, God can save you without you moving a muscle. Because it's a heart work. People say, well, walk this aisle and pray this prayer. Oh, just stop. Somebody's just repeating someone else's confession. That's all they're doing when they're praying that prayer. Nowhere in the Bible do you see the apostles in the book of Acts saying, well, bow your head and repeat this prayer. It's not in the scriptures, beloved. Just trust Christ. And again, God can save you without you moving a muscle because it's a heart work. It's a work of the Holy Spirit of God. It's a regenerating work. And then we have faith. Like you said, I believe. God had regenerated you, brother. And you believed. That's what happened to me too. One day I'm a raging heathen. And the next day I'm, Lord, I'm... Oh my gosh. And I'm still a sinner, though. I'm still a sinner. When I say raging heathen, I'm still a sinner. I'm just saved by grace. Hallelujah. Oh my. So it's the Holy Spirit that dwells in the heart of the believer. He dwells in the Apostle Paul here. And careful at that which was occurring in the Galatian churches. And with a strong rebuke we see here. And the Holy Spirit dwelling in us as believers. When we witness those who have given outward evidence of embracing Christ and His gospel, we should be amazed if they leave a gospel assembly. We should say, what? What? To go to churches where a gospel is not preached, especially when they leave and go somewhere where the gospel is not preached, it's like, oh my gosh. Pray for them. And if they come back, welcome them like they never left. That's the thing. My, oh, my. So take note here, too, in verse 6. Paul says, it was God who called them into the grace of Christ. Look at this. I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you. God's ministers, we have the honor of preaching the gospel of God's free grace in Christ. But those who believe the gospel have received a personal, inward, invincible call from God Himself. God might allow those who are sinners or those who are sincere believers also to fall into one of Satan's sinful traps. Obviously, these Galatians had fallen into one of Satan's traps, hadn't they? Believe in these false teachers. I'll tell you, if you're saved, he'll never allow his people to fall away from his love and arms. He's got us. Now, we may backslide and we may get into all kinds of trouble. But if you're the Lord's, he'll never let you go. And our God has a divine purpose for everything. Remember this, that happens in our lives. Everything. Everything that happens in our lives. And always remember that for God's people, everything's working together for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and for our good, even when we can't see it. Especially when we can't see it. Especially when we can't see it. And remember this, he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He shall not fail. Every one of his born-again, blood-washed saints will be with him in glory forever. And I say, that's me. And if you're pleased, say, that's me. Oh my, glory be to God. No wonder Paul said that in verse 5 again. No wonder he said, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. That's all he can say. Well, we'll look at the rest of verse 6 next week, Lord willing. And I'm just going to take it real slow through this first chapter because there's so much in here. And as you see, just a few words there and what's being brought forth too. And we'll look a little bit more next week at effectual calling too when he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed, so put over here as opposed to being in the gospel, from him that called you unto another grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ.